Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. This is Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group, and with me as always is Chip Janiszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. How are you doing this week, Chip?
Doing great, Eric. Happy December.
Happy December. It's starting to feel a bit like Christmas. We're getting the cold weather up here in the Northeast.
Today is beautiful, though.
It really is.
Saying we may see a little white stuff by the end of the week, but by then it'll already be a week into December, so that's perfectly normal.
Exactly. And of course, as we trudge closer to the end of the year, we all start wrapping up 2017 and getting ready for the new year. And today we're going to talk about evaluating what you did and what happened in 2017. And how you can look at what you did to see, did you achieve your goals? How close did you come? And if you didn't, if you had setbacks, what did you learn from those setbacks? So now, Chip, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about SWOT analysis, and you mentioned that you actually have a SWOT analysis for doing just this.
Yes, and for those who have not really set goals and have things to monitor, this is really, really a great place to start as a business at the end of the year, because SWOT, just to review, stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And what it really is both for your business and personally, is a look in the mirror exercise and writing down the answers to, you know, what are your strengths for a company? Is what did your company do well this year? Where was it profitable? And so on and so forth. And weaknesses could be, you know, where do you need to improve? This is a great thing to do as a group, you know, management group, management team, and that kind of thing. Opportunities would be, what are opportunities that we have identified this year looking ahead that we can possibly, you know, leverage a little bit more next year? And then threats. So it's a really, really great way to organize yourself if you haven't set goals in the past into listing a whole bunch of items from which you'll be able to set goals moving ahead for next year.
Yeah, that's excellent. And you know, we talked about goal setting. And certainly, if you set your goals properly, then it's easier to look back and measure whether or not you actually achieved them. Mostly, we talked about making goals specific. So it wasn't, you know, I want to lose weight. It was, I want to lose 10 pounds. It wasn't, I want to make more money. I want to make $100,000 this year. If you made your goal specific, looking back, it's a lot easier to now go, okay, did I meet the goal? And you have a way to measure whether or not you did. With that measurement, it helps you say, oh, well, this went very well, that's a strength. This didn't go so well, that's a weakness. And work within that SWOT analysis that Chip just mentioned to figure out which goals went well, which didn't, and what you need to do going forward to fix that.
Yeah, and this works, again, both for personal and for business. And talking business a little bit, if you haven't done it, it's a great idea to take a look at the different things that you do as far as products and services go. Analyze the sales that you've had this year. See if you can identify profitability by the sales and services that you have. And by having that information, it's going to help you to plan for the year ahead. Because if there's something that you're really good at or really profitable at or really like to do, and there's a market out there for you to leverage that next year, identifying what you've done this year is a great way to take a look at that and start on that. You know, in other words, if you've done some really good things this year, take a look at what the market is and can you blow that up for next year? That kind of thing. So analyzing those things is really, really important to help set the trend for what you want to do for next year.
All right. And it's very important to measure that profitability. Generally, when I work with clients, when we're looking at products and services, we look at two different metrics. We look at what products and services are most commonly requested and which are the most profitable. Sometimes they're the same, but very often they aren't. Because remember, profitability depends on what you're charging for the service and what it costs you. And that's very important to remember. Just because everybody wants a specific product or service doesn't mean it's your most profitable. When people go out to eat, you know, one of the, you know, they have popular dishes at every restaurant, but what's always most profitable is the soft drink and drinks.
And a good way to analyze this, I mean, modern accounting systems such as QuickBooks allows you to really track things that way. The basics of accounting, and you know that I have an accounting degree and I am an accounting nerd, but I love cost accounting. And what it's really all about is determining your gross margin by product or service. And what your gross margin is your sales dollars that you got in for that particular product or service, less what your direct costs are, which in most cases would be the labor that you put into it. If you're making something, it would be what you had to buy to go into that product. And once you can determine what your gross margin is and put a percentage on that, you can track to make sure that that percentage is pretty much staying the same. And by looking at that, you're going to be able to see what money you have available to cover all of your other so-called fixed costs. And these are things like rent and stuff like that that does not change on a month-to-month basis, whether you sell $1 or $1 million. So by taking a look at your gross margins, it's going to help you out a lot. And software like QuickBooks actually allows you to code by class. Your class would be a product and service. And when you're doing an invoice or buying something, you can actually code a class by your product or service. So QuickBooks will automatically calculate what your gross margin is by product and service. It's a great, great thing that you have. And if you do have QuickBooks, it's a great thing to implement. And it's really not that hard to do.
Right. And we're using QuickBooks as an example, but whatever accounting software you use, most of them have the ability to do this.
Yeah, it's as easy as doing it on a spreadsheet too. If you're just using a spreadsheet, you would just have a column for product A, service B, so on and so forth. Plug your sales in by that, plug in your purchases and your labor, and you have a really, really good handle on that just by doing it that way.
And it's very important to evaluate this. And the end of the year is the perfect time to do it, because you do want to make sure that you're pricing your products and services appropriately. While large stores like Walmart use different items as loss leaders to get you into the store, if you're a small business, loss leaders are not a big help to you. You need to be making your money off of each product and each service. If a specific product or service is costing you more than you're charging and there's not a big demand for it, it's time to evaluate whether or not to keep offering that particular product.
Also, when you're looking at your clients, if you're dealing with B2B, there are some clients that are better clients for you than other clients. And when you're analyzing strengths and weaknesses and so on and so forth, a big weakness would be I'm spending hours and hours and hours just trying to placate this person, and he's only doing $100 a month of business with me per month. If you can identify those as part of your year-end analysis, it's okay for you to fire clients if they're not the ones that you want to deal with. And one of the best things that you can possibly do is identify who your great clients are and go after more clients like them as a strategic plan.
Right. If you're a service provider, you need to figure out what your cost per hour is for each of your clients. That's a great metric to evaluate to say, okay, wait a minute. I have to cut back on what I'm doing for this client, or I have to fire him completely. There are always clients that you spend much more than what you can bill for. I mean, many more hours, not much more in a cost sense, in financials. And it's important for you to see how much you're making per hour. If you're averaging, say, $30 an hour, and you've got a client that requires so much handholding that you're making less than $10, it's time to seriously consider whether you want to keep that client or whether you have to resign them.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the best things you can do if that's happening is just really have a candid talk with them and just saying, hey, look, if we're going to have to provide you with more of these services and so on and so forth, we're going to have to increase our contract as far as the number of hours you need or something along that line so that they understand what's going on. And chances are, if you talk to them like that, one of two things will happen. They'll either accept that, but if not, they'll totally understand and they'll probably leave you, because if they're causing you problems in the first place and you don't want them, they're probably going to end up going away if you raise the price on it, because that's what they're looking for, is cheap price and a whole lot of service.
All right. And it's important to remember that there's nothing wrong with resigning a client. Many business owners, they're terrified to get rid of a client because you worked so hard to get them, you've worked hard to keep them, but there comes a point in time where you have to evaluate the effect of that client on your entire business. Is that client too resource intensive for you to keep servicing? If so, as Chip just said, either you have to raise the price for them or you have to let them go. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not something to be feared. And the fact of the matter is, if you're letting them go, it's generally because you have other clients that require less work that are more profitable for you. And you need to focus where the most profitability is.
Yeah, and this is a great time of year to really just sit down with your service staff and your sales staff, or, you know, even if you're just doing it by yourself, and just analyze that client list and develop the patterns that you have there. Even if you're not really tracking hours and so on and so forth, you can pretty much categorize, make a column for low maintenance, high maintenance, and so on and so forth, good pay, bad pay, that kind of thing, and identify your best clients. And chances are you might see a little trend there as far as the type of client that's your best client, which will really help you as far as determining what your focus is for business development for next year. So it's good to get your employees involved with this, really for two reasons. Number one, because they're the ones that are in the trenches. And number two, they're going to feel a whole lot more involved and a whole lot more appreciated because you're getting them involved in this process too, which is so important for next year and ongoing period.
All right. And an important point that Chip just mentioned, evaluating how you did is not just about looking at the past. It's about making changes for the future. It's about seeing where you're doing best and being able to enhance that. So if you can figure out what type of client is your best client, you can then move forward to focus on those clients and getting more like them in the new year. And that's another reason why you want to be evaluating what went on over the past year, not just to see what was good and what went wrong, but to make sure what went wrong doesn't continue to happen and what went well you can replicate.
Yeah, it's also a really good idea if you're a larger business and you have clients that are your really, really good clients. Perhaps you have other services that you're doing right now that they are not using you for. So not only analyzing what you're doing for them and how good they are right now, but analyzing and making sure that whatever you can do to help them out, at least they know about it, so that if they like working with you on one type of service, but they're not using you for another type, at least you have an open door to possibly do that, or they know that you do that moving ahead, so that if something goes up with their primary vendor in that area right now, they're going to call on you possibly to do that. So it's maximizing your effect with each client.
Right, and that's very important because we all spend a lot of time trying to get new clients. But very often, it's easier and more profitable to upsell an existing client, sell them different services that you have that they're not already using, than it is to bring a new client in. It's usually cheaper to do that for you and more profitable in the long run. It also enhances the relationship that you have with your client because they get to know what you can do better by seeing different services that maybe they didn't think about before.
Absolutely. And we talk about relationships all the time, but once the relationship is there, it's so much easier to build upon that. And talking about relationships, we started talking about employees a little bit too. And it's not a bad idea, especially for companies, if they really, really want to make their employees feel like they're important to them, which they are, have them do a personal SWOT analysis on themselves during the year or at the end of the year, identifying what they think, and this is good for employee reviews and so on and so forth, what they think their strengths are, what they think that their individual weaknesses are, identifying those things, and what their opportunities and threats are. I think that using a SWOT analysis format for an employee review or just a year-end thing is a great thing to do within a company. And then if you are an individual who's looking or you're in the market to do things out there, take a look at that. Take a look at yourself and look at what your strengths are. You know, what are your strengths as far as your skill sets go, what you're really, really good at, and so on and so forth. On the weakness side, what are your Achilles heels and things like that? So it's a really, really good idea for you to take a look at that person in the mirror too, whether you're looking or whether you're not looking, just to see how you're doing.
Right. And if you are a business owner that has employees, the evaluation process isn't simply a way to evaluate how your employees are doing. It's incredibly important to have them evaluate what's going on in the business, where they're spending time with clients. Your employees are actually your best source for information. They deal with the clients on a day-to-day basis. They are the front line of your business. Utilizing them means letting them tell you what they've seen. Some of the best innovations in businesses have come from employees bringing information back about what the clients need, what they're getting, and what they're not getting, rather than everything coming from the boss and flowing down. So you really want your employees to be part of the process. You want them to feel that their input matters, because the more they understand how important they are, the more invested they will be in the business.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you're year end and your employees are not involved, it's a great opportunity to start something new and just kind of like have an assessment that way and get together with them and have a really, really good constructive set of questions that they can help you out with. But then make this an ongoing process for the next year. Set this up as a system where you can get their feedback, their input, their ideas as far as what they can do moving ahead. A lot of this is just out of the principles of how to win friends and influence people. And one of the ones that I think of right now when you're talking about your employees is give them a great reputation to live up to. I respect your opinion. You do a wonderful job and so on and so forth. And by doing that kind of thing and getting them involved with the processes moving ahead, number one, it's going to help you out as far as your year-end evaluation, which we're talking about today, but moving ahead, magic can happen as a result of this if you keep them involved.
Absolutely. I've worked with dozens of businesses, and one thing I have seen time and time again is that if the employees are engaged in the business, if they really feel that they are respected in the business, their opinion matters, and that they can make changes to the business, then when the economy goes down and things are tight, employees buckle down and contribute to the success of the business, because they know that when things get better and there's an uptick, they benefit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're analyzing your weaknesses as an employer, one of your questions that you're going to be asking yourself is how well involved are my employees? What's their morale and so on and so forth? And if you have some weaknesses that come out of that, you can immediately turn them into an opportunity just by starting a program like that. So that's really one of the quickest ways that you can straighten out your company is to identify that right now. And year end is a perfect time to say, okay, I've messed up in the past. This is the way things have been, but we really want to get you guys involved right now. Let's go through this exercise this year, and we'd love to have you folks involved moving ahead. So we're going to be monitoring things moving ahead by doing this, 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 and this, and keeping them involved.
And of course, there's one factor that tends to keep people from doing honest evaluations, and that is that they don't want to admit mistakes. Mistakes are fine. There's nothing wrong with making a mistake. It means you tried something new. Maybe it didn't work. Maybe it could have worked better. But you have to admit the mistakes and then work on improving from those mistakes.
Yeah, and I would encourage the employees to do that just by talking about your own experiences, and you can give a list of faults and mistakes that you've made over your career that have led to positive things just to make them feel comfortable so that they'll do that for you and for themselves.
All right, there's an old adage in Japanese business that says, fix the problem, not the blame. Evaluations are not the time to blame people. It's about figuring out what happened, figuring out what was good and bad, and how to make it better. Everybody needs to be rowing in the same direction for the business to really succeed. So that's what you're looking for. You're not looking to blame. You're not looking to say, well, you know, we should have done this and we didn't. Why, you know? It's about figuring out what happened and figuring out the results of what happened. Because if something went wrong, if something failed, and you can learn why and apply that lesson going forward, then that failure is a valuable part of your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead of having one problem where you criticize the employee and try and fix it, if you change that C from criticizing to collaboration, which is an ongoing process of improvement, that's what you want to strive for. And it works so much better because the bottom line is it doesn't matter who you are. If somebody points a finger at you for even the smallest thing, you are immediately going to be on the defensive. And even if you fix the problem right now, there's no winner there because you're going to walk away with hard feelings.
Right. And you really want to avoid that. This is not about hurting people's feelings. And in fact, because you should be evaluating every part of your business, if you have employees, they should be evaluating the business as well. Again, they have a different perspective than the business owner does, and it's a valuable perspective. So if you have them evaluate not only their own work, but that of the company as a whole, and how it related to their clients, you're going to learn a lot more and you're going to be more successful in the long run. And they're going to feel more engaged and get the impact that they really matter.
Absolutely. And they really do. It's so important to get them involved.
So we've talked about the SWOT analysis. We've talked about getting your employees involved. Everything we've been talking about so far, for the most part, is geared towards business. But the year end is also a good time to evaluate what you did personally. Everybody talks about work-life balance. Were you happy this year with how you were able to balance? What did you do in your personal life? Did you have personal goals that you can now look back on and say, yes, I made these goals, I didn't make these goals? Why didn't you make these goals? Why did you make some? Personal growth is a big part of who you are and who you will be. It keeps you on your toes. It makes you more successful. Generally, being able to grow makes you happier because you're experiencing new things. So you really do need to do a personal evaluation as well as one for your business.
Yeah, and it really starts with, if you haven't put together your own personal strategic plan, really starting with trying to find your passion and purpose yourself, this is a great time of year to do that. It's a great time of year to list down on paper all the things that you like to do, all the things that you are good at doing, what you really like to do and that kind of thing. And if you haven't done that, it's a time to do that right now. And then obviously on the SWOT analysis, from that will come the O, the opportunities, because you will list different ways to achieve these different things that you want to do. But it's so important to find out what you're all about. And by listing all that stuff, you're going to find out what you're all about. What gets you out of bed every day? What do you feel strongly about? That kind of thing. So it's time to do that personal analysis too. Look in the mirror, take out a piece of paper, and work on you.
Right. And one thing that I recommend doing as a personal evaluation is take a good look at your calendar from the past year. Where did you spend your time? Is it just blocks of time working? Did you get away? Did you take a vacation? Did you spend time with family? Did you schedule time with your family and friends? In our coaching program, we actually use a calendar evaluation where you're supposed to write in everything that you do to see where you're spending time. The main point of that tool for business people is to see what they can cut out to stop wasting so much time on. But the same principle works for your personal life. You know, if there's things you want to do that you haven't gotten to, well, where are you spending that time? If you're spending it sitting in front of the TV, you see, oh, you know what? I don't need to do that as often. I can be doing things I really enjoy. So we're coming up on the end of our time here. So, Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway you want our listeners to have this week?
Sit down, whether it's personally, well, personally and corporate-wise, and do that SWOT analysis. Analyze where you've been and start setting up programs for next year.
Yes, for me, I think the big takeaway is look at yourself honestly. When you're doing an evaluation, this is not the time to be either modest or egotistical. You want to take a realistic look at what you did, how it worked, and how you can do it better. The more realistic you are, the more valuable your evaluation is. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us here every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the Apple Podcasts app, the iTunes Store, wherever you find your podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever and make next week even better. See you then.